From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire, collected alongside, and then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Arrogate is getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide, and Keeneland Select.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and a very happy Easter weekend as we welcome you to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence and Keeneland Select, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back amongst the swaying palm trees at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. But right now, those palm trees are not swaying. They are perfectly still because the conditions couldn't be more perfect. Temperatures right around 70 degrees to kick it off this morning on this Florida Derby day. Just some wispy white clouds amongst the powder blue skies, and it is going to be spectacular this afternoon with temperatures supposed to be around 83 degrees and a fast main track, a firm turf course. Look, the road to the Kentucky Derby, folks, is heating up, and it is in full stride right now. The Final Four, JT, is going to be contested tonight in San Antonio. That's going to determine the contenders for the national championship in college basketball. But I would say if you're looking at horse racing now, we're down to, I'm going to call it the Super Six. All right, you've got the Florida Derby today. You've got the UAE Derby, which is going to be contested later this morning here on the East Coast, maybe early this afternoon, some 7,800 miles to the east of here in Dubai. You have the Bluegrass, the Wood, the Santa Anita Derby next weekend, and then you have the Arkansas Derby on April 14th, the Super Six.
Well, there you go. we have something new. Well, it's a great day today. I mean, horse players get to start early this morning. We just saw Heavy Metal kick it off. We could have used a little Heavy Metal to start the show. Too many race calls and not enough Heavy Metal. So that would have been apropos. But you got Dubai, and then you've got this fantastic card here, and seven stakes, five graded, and everybody's going to have a good time at Gulfstream. They always do. You know, to steal a tagline from our sponsor Phasic Tipton, where would you rather be?
Yeah,
and I think you'd rather be here if you're not in Dubai. One of those two places, that's where you want to be right now.
Yeah, where will you be? This is it right here at Gulfstream Park today. All the action happening here in South Florida. You mentioned the graded stakes and the outstanding program, not just the Florida Derby, but all the supporting cast, if you want to look at it like that, with all the other graded stakes. You also have that massive carryover in the Rainbow Six of more than $4.7 million. That's the carryover going into today's card, and today's card is going to offer a mandatory payout of the Rainbow Six. So how many people are going to be firing at that today?
Well, they're expecting a $20 million pool.
Gosh.
And some people are expecting a $25 million pool, depending on who you talk to. But
depends on how much you bet.
It's kind of a gambler's game. It's only 20 cents, but that's a lot of 20 cents that go into tickets on a day like today. There's going to be syndicates all over the country and probably all over the world that are going to try to take that down. And, of course, you know, we have some interesting races today. None of them are super cut and dried, so the chance of a good payoff is excellent. And even if with a $20 million pool, even if you share that amongst 20 people, it's $1 million bucks a piece. Nobody would be sad leaving the track with $1 million in their pocket. So It's a very interesting twist to Florida Derby Day, to say the least.
Yeah, the orange orchids are going to be flowing here today, especially if somebody takes down that big Rainbow Six. No doubt. Plus, they have a – how about this, JT? One of the events for the fans, they have a Divas and Dudes hat contest in the walking ring, which is going to be right below us today. It's after the eighth race. Of course, we won't be on the air at that point. We don't go on the air until 5 o'clock this afternoon with our coverage of the Florida Derby, but yeah, Divas and Dudes hat contest.
I wish I would have known. I would have whipped something up.
You can grab one of Michelle's fascinators bought the other day.
Oh, yeah, I look good in a fascinator. Let me tell you, the last time I put on a fascinator, it was Breeders' Cup, and I looked fantastic.
Well, look, the Florida Derby has been the signature stepping stone to the Kentucky Derby in recent years. You look at the past decade, four of the past 10 Kentucky Derby winners have prepped in the Florida Derby. And matter of fact, four of those horses have all won both of those, with Always Dreaming last year, Nyquist. You had Orb in 2013, Big Brown in 2008. The Florida Derby has produced the most Derby winners of any prep race now after Always Dreaming last year. It's up to 24 Kentucky Derby winners to come through here in South Florida. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, it's a great spot to race during the wintertime. The program is good. The races are well-spaced, and a lot of trainers, especially East Coast-based trainers, spend their winters down here, and who can blame them? I mean, you got to get out of the snow or you go crazy. So it's a good program and a really nice set of stepping stones. All the guesswork's cut out for you. You can just cruise right along in those races, and a lot of good horses here.
And the favorite likely to be Audible, the Holy Bull winner. Now, he's been off since the Holy Bull, but who can question Todd Pletcher and his strategy coming in here off a bit of a layoff, because all he's done is win the Florida Derby a record four times. His jockey, John Velasquez, well, he holds the record too. He's won it four times. They teamed up last year with Always Dreaming. Look, Audible was so impressive in the Holy Bull. He ran as good as a racehorse can run. If he matches that effort, they could all be running for second money.
Well, that's true. It was a very good race. The big concern is the 56 days between, and, you know, all the training that's gone on in the meantime. So we have to kind of just, you know, see what develops with that horse, see how he comes back. And it's really like coming off a layoff almost. It's a kind of an interesting scenario we have going today. So he probably is the favorite in the clubhouse, so to speak. But, you know, there's some horses there going to give him a challenge.
We're going to hear from jockey John Velasquez later in the program. I got a chance to catch up with him yesterday. Really fun interview with Johnny, talking about Audible and his strategy and how he's going to approach this race coming up later this afternoon. Dale Romans is back. He sends out a couple horses in the Florida Derby looking to win his first. He has Promises Fulfilled, who dominated the Fountain of Youth Stakes in wire-to-wire fashion. And he also sends out Storm Runner, who last time out was seventh behind his stablemate in that Fountain of Youth. But we know he's a talented horse, too. What do you think? Can Dale pull it off here? He was beaten narrowly with Shackleford back in 2011 when Dial then caught him at the wire. What do you think?
Well, you can never count Dale out. And, of course, he's got a very fast horse. So, you know, I think there's a chance that horse could go wire to wire. According to Dale, he's taking no prisoners. So they're going to blast off and see what happens. So he was impressive last time winning, and he could do it again.
You stopped by the barn to see Dale yesterday. That interview comes up later in the program, too. So stay tuned for that one. And we're going to be joined after our first break by trainer Jonathan Thomas. He will be here in person with us this morning. He sends out Catholic Boy, winner of the Grade 2 Remsen at Aqueduct last year, but last time out, beaten in the Sam F. Davis at Tampa Bay Downs in his three-year-old debut. And I guess it's maybe a hunch play for a lot of people on this Easter weekend that they just play Catholic Boy in today's Florida Derby.
Yeah, Sister Jean would approve, I'm sure.
I'm sure
and who wants to go against Sister Jean right now? yeah, Catholic Boy is a very nice horse, lots of talent. He's run huge races on multi-surfaces. He ran second last time out, needed the race probably. He should be a lot sharper, evidently training like a bomb here at Gulfstream Park the last week or so. So, you know, I think he's got a big say in the outcome.
The other trainer you caught up with yesterday morning was Mark Hennig, and always a fun interview. We're going to play that interview later in the program in the second hour. He sends out Strike Power, who was a winner of the Grade 3 Swale, ran pretty good in the Fountain of Youth last time when he was second behind Promises Fulfilled. Can he pull it off at a mile and an eighth today?
I think so. I think this horse has a better distance pedigree than a lot of people give him credit for. You know, they see the Spitestown, they think sprinter. But we've seen Spitestown stretch out on the grass and run well. You know, the bottom side is Medaglia d'Oro. We know that's good to go for a distance race. So I think this horse has a pedigree that really, it's kind of an old-fashioned type pedigree with speed on the top and stamina on the bottom. And I think, you know, Mark's got him in a good spot. I wouldn't be shocked if he won the race.
Well, our coverage this afternoon begins 5 o'clock Eastern. You'll be able to tune into that coverage throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93. That's Sirius XM 93. You're home for the Florida Derby this afternoon. That coverage all presented by the FTBOA and going to include a couple of other graded stakes, including the Gulfstream Park Oaks for the three-year-old fillies and the Pan American, which is that outstanding turf race right before the Florida Derby. So, again, 5 to 7 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, all presented by the FTBOA. You can also listen locally in the Lexington market on Hank 96.1 FM, and you'll be able to hear us worldwide on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, mobile device. You can do that at horseracingradio.net. So a lot of ways to listen to this afternoon's coverage.
Yeah, you never have an excuse. If you have a mobile phone, you can listen to us.
All right, here's the poll question for this morning. You can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRRN, or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And we want to know, quite simply, who is your pick to win today's Florida Derby? And we're going to give you four choices. We'll give you the three favorites: Audible, Promises Fulfilled, Catholic Boy, and then the fourth category will be Other, if you like somebody beside the top three. But you have to specify and let us know who it is. So who is your pick to win today's Florida Derby? Is it Audible, Promises Fulfilled, Catholic Boy? Or you can check the Other tab and let us know who else you think can pull off the victory today and punch their ticket to the first Saturday in May and a spot in the starting gate beneath the Twin Spires. All right, Jonathan Thomas going to join us here in just a few minutes after our first break. Looking forward to that visit. He'll talk to us about his contender, Catholic Boy. Lonnie Powell, the CEO of the FTBOA, will be with us around 8:35 Eastern time. Stay tuned for that interview. He'll fill you in on all of the incentives, and there are some good ones, that they're offering to Florida-bred horses, not only here at the championship meet, but looking ahead to the summer meet here at Gulfstream. Jockeys Julian Leperu and John Velasquez sat down with me yesterday. You'll hear those interviews coming up in the second half of the program, along with Jude's interviews with Dale Romans and Mark Hennig. And then Mike Nyman will stop by at 9:25 Eastern time. He'll be joined by Mark Wimsatt, who is the winner of our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge Contest. He is here, courtesy of Gulfstream Park. He gets a free trip, which included airfare and accommodations. Got a chance to see him yesterday. Mike actually named a race in his honor, which was cool because he got to make the trophy presentation, and I had the privilege of joining Mark in the winner's circle. Third race of the day yesterday. He gets a dead heat, so we had to present the trophy to two separate jockeys. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, there you go. I have to buy an extra trophy
yeah.
now.
And and it wasn't really a trophy. It was more like a little plaque thing, but it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Did both horses get in the picture at the same time?
No? No, they did them separately.
They did them separately?
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes in California, they'll have them both come in there, and that's kind of cool. I like those pictures that have the two horses and the two jockeys. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, really neat stuff. So that's the show for you this morning. It's going to be very busy. Again, Jonathan Thomas coming up after this first break right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide, and by Keeneland Select.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Brody's Cause, a grade one winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating grade one winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamradal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence and Keeneland Select.
Avery Island is in behind the front runners as they come off the turn and enter the stretch. And here is Catholic Boy now to take over the lead. Catholic Boy in front as they pass the 3/16 pole. Catholic Boy with a 3-length lead. Then Avery Island and Vouch and Tap Rap Strike and Alcatam. But it's Catholic Boy, and he may have grown up some today. Catholic Boy wins the Remsen under Manny Franco. Avery Island was second, and Vouch finished third. The time was 1 minute 52 and 2/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach. Gorgeous morning. If you're just joining us, we're on our way to the low 80s. Should be a fast main track and a firm turf course for this afternoon's Florida Derby program. The Florida Derby going to be run as race number 14 with a post of 6:36 Eastern. Again, you can join us beginning 5 o'clock Eastern this afternoon for all that coverage. 2 hours, all presented by the FTBOA. Catholic Boy, John Embriel, had the call of that big win in the Grade 2 Remsen at Aqueduct. That was back on December 2nd. Jude, that was his main track debut. His first three starts came on the turf. He dominated the Remsen, came back in his three-year-old debut, was second, beaten just a half a length. And, yeah, this is a horse that's pretty serious, and I know you like him in this spot today.
Yeah, he's a very talented horse. I mean, he broke his maiden on the turf first time out and then came back and won the With Anticipation that I thought was an excellent performance. Untamed Domain was third in that race. Then his next start was in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He didn't have the best of trips. He finished fourth, beaten a length and a half, not very far off of it at all. Came out of that race, they decided to run him in the Remsen going 1 1/8. I loved him in there. He absolutely cruised home. It was an easy victory for him. Then they put him away, gave him a little break, which is a great idea. Came back, ran the best Brisnet speed figure of his life in his comeback, got beat a half a length. He made two runs in that race, kind of an interesting performance. So I think he's tough today. He gets a great pace set up, and he should be in the garden spot throughout.
Flame Away, who beat him, is pointing for the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland next weekend. Of course, we'll be there to provide coverage of that race, the Wood Memorial and Santa Anita Derby, next weekend. And that coverage, by the way, begins 5:30 Eastern time. What do you think of Flame Away? Are you high on him? I mean, and if you're not, does that take away from Catholic Boy in some way?
I wouldn't say I'm high on him, but I think he's a very interesting horse. He tries hard every time. He's a very game horse, and he had the benefit of some racing going into the last race. So I don't think it was a knock to run second to Flame Away, and I don't think really that that was the primary focus of the comeback to win the race. I think it was just to get a good race into him, and that's what they did in the Sam Davis. They got a good race into their horse, and he's trained brilliantly since. So I think it's all setting up nicely for him overall. But Flame Away is a horse that he wasn't even nominated to the Kentucky Derby, they didn't nominate him till late. So obviously they had some question marks about him, but he's proven himself to be very talented and very game.
Yeah, and Catholic Boy likely needed that start. As a matter of fact, Jonathan Thomas, who, by the way, waiting on Jonathan here at our location, he should be stopping by shortly, but he joined us before that comeback effort in the Sam F. Davis. And you remember after the interview, we were talking and we said, boy, it just didn't sound like he felt like the horse was doing okay, but that wasn't the main goal, right? That was just his start back. He was getting him started like so many of the trainers do with that first race back as a three-year-old. It didn't sound to me like he felt like he had Catholic Boy 100% fully cranked, and you wouldn't expect him to in the race like that.
No, especially coming off, you know, a couple of months layoff and, you know, spending time down on the farm and getting ready. And, you know, they shipped him in to Tampa Bay a couple days ahead of time to get him used to the track and stuff. But, you know, that track's a little quirky sometimes, and that's another thing about Tampa Bay. Some horses like it, some horses don't, but he kind of passed that test. He ran good enough to say, you know, that he was fine on the track. But it was a good race. It was an excellent place to start, like I like to say, and you know, he should improve off of it a ton.
Yeah, well, again, Jonathan set to join us here. He should be on his way. we're hoping.
What else can we say? Say, dear, after I say I'm sorry?
Right, right. Yeah. Hoping to be joined by Jonathan here shortly.
I will tell you, all of your talk that you've been doing about Catholic Boy has put the poll, Catholic Boy, in the lead on the poll. All of a sudden. Catholic Boy was behind and is now in the lead.
Ooh, thanks.
Look at that.
The power of HR.
The power of the Pope. Pope Jude.
Yeah.
How about, did you put him on top on your Pope Jude sheet today?
Of course. He's on top. He's, you know, I've been on his bandwagon for a while. I think he's a really talented horse, and there was no reason for me to think otherwise going into this race. So.
Yeah. By the way, we mentioned Pope Jude quite a bit. You can go to PopeJude.com to get Jude's selections, not just this weekend, but every weekend. And I know you have a sheet out there for the entire Florida Derby card today, don't you?
Yeah, it's proven to be popular to have the full card on the daylight today. People love that, and it's out there, and it's hopefully as good as we've been doing. It's just as good.
As we wait on Jonathan, I have another storyline that ties into this year's Florida Derby, and it's a pretty good one. I want to ask you about that here in a minute, but I want people to remember that there was a horse who was undefeated at two and was a dual Group 1 winner and an earner of just under $2 million. His name is Declaration of War, and he stands at Ashford Stud. He also has a top-class pedigree as a son of Warfront and out of a half-sister to Union Rags. Declaration of War has gotten off to a flying start at Stud with great stakes winners, including Actress and Speed Franco, who looks to add to his stakes tally today at Gulfstream Park. And with a selection of extremely promising horses, including Irish Territory, yet to make their seasonal debuts, 2018 is shaping up to be a huge year for Declaration of War. So call the team at Ashford for unbeatable value. All right, so the other storyline involves a jockey, and that jockey is Luis Saez. The other day, 2 days ago, Jude, he won 7 races on the card. This was on Thursday. He wins 7 races. He ties Javier Castellanos' single-season record of 132 victories here at the Gulfstream meet. He still has plenty of chances over the next couple of days to top that record. And he rides Strike Power for Mark Henning. Mark Henning had a tweet you were telling me about this morning. complimenting John Velasquez when John rode a horse for him, and he says, I understand why he and Todd have had such an amazing partnership now over the years, because Johnny's just that good. Well, nobody at this meet has been better than Luis Saez, so he has the right guy aboard Strike Power today.
Yeah, well, Luis Saez, he's done it twice, win seven on a card here at Gulfstream.
Jockey ever to do that.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. Well, there have been jockeys that have won seven. I think Tyler Gaffalione and Jerry Bally did it once. He's the only one to do it twice.
And he may do it three times before it's all over, or four or five. I mean, the guy's got a lot of talent, and he seems to be the go-to guy of every trainer that loses their rider. So that's a good spot to be in if people have that much respect for you. And, you know, so they. I always tell people the jocks can't ride more than one horse per race. There's yet to be a rider that could ride two horses Roman style, you know.
Yeah.
So they have to pick. Somebody has to pick. Either they pick or their agent picks, you know, and sometimes the trainers kick them off or the owners. But we talked about that a little bit with Dale and Robbie yesterday about the musical jockeys in the Florida Derby. It's interesting when you look at just the riders and how people are moving around. But, you know, when you have when you're in a position like Luis Saez to take over some of those mounts that the top guys lose, or the more fashionable guys.
Yeah.
And he's totally made a name for himself. I mean, I would put him in there with the Ortiz brothers and, you know, Johnny and Javier. I mean, he's one of the guys. He's, you know, arguably in that group. So, you know, that's a good spot for him. And he's very talented. I mean, you just watch him, and it's amazing.
All right, let's go ahead and do this. Let's get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. Then we'll come back. We're going to visit with Lonnie Powell from the FTBOA, and that way we'll have time. If Jonathan makes his way over here in a little bit, we'll have time to visit with him at the end of this first hour. Your Lexus Legends of the Turf brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the folks at the Lexus store of Lexington, the Godfather Tony Attiano, and all the great folks. They certainly know horses there, and they know vehicles, and there's no better one than Lexus. It's the Lexus Legends of the Turf brought to you by the Lexus store of Lexington.
The World Championship of Thoroughbred Racing was on the line at the lovely, majestic Longchamp Racecourse just outside Paris on October 3rd, 1965, when the most prestigious Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe was about to unfold. And what a star-studded fielder was on hand to contest it. Meadow Court from Ireland, Oncidium from England, Aniline from the Soviet Union, Ragazzo, Soderini, Diatomy, Reliance, Caliph, Marco Visconti, Francis Great Seabird, the Big Chestnut, Little Tom Rolfe from America, and Free Ride, who was an entry with Diatomy. A huge crowd had gathered at the glorious Longchamp Racecourse, which in all its splendor was among the aesthetically most beautiful in the world. It exuded class, and there was class aplenty on the racetrack to match it on this day. In the paddock, Seabird, the big local favorite, looked somewhat skittish and was sweating, as was Reliance, although it was a very warm day and the sun was beating down. Tom Rolfe, the American entry, was calm and created a stir among the crowd as he was ponied during the post-parade to the start. French racegoers had not been accustomed to that practice at their races. Oncidium, the English horse, was showing signs of nervousness. Aniline, the Russian entry, was very businesslike, calm, and quiet. At the starting post, Oncidium caused some problems, but the rest of the field lined up in perfect order. At the break, Marco Visconti went right to the front. Caliph picked up to chase, and Meadow Court and Aniline were up near the front as well. Seabird, with Australian Pat Glennon in the saddle, and Reliance, with renowned Yves Saint-Martin up, were well-rated, in no difficulty, running fifth and sixth. They were obviously stalking the leaders, waiting for the right time to make that one big run. The going was on the soft side of Longchamp that day, and America's Tom Rolfe was showing definite signs of difficulty in handling it. He was far back and never really got into the hunt, so to speak. As the field rounded the bend and started for home at the top of the stretch, Glennon let loose on Seabird, and he chewed up huge pieces of turf with long, smooth strides until he veritably flew by the front quartet to assume command at the top of the straight to pull out to an open six-length lead. That incredible display of speed had shot him forward as though propelled by a rocket. Saint-Martin asked his Mount Reliance for a move at the same time Seabird moved, but there was no way he could stay with the flying French chestnut. Seabird maintained the margin to win by 6 open lengths over the previously unbeaten Reliance, and it was another 5 back to Diatomy with Free Ride 4th and Aniline 5th. Seabird had turned in a phenomenal effort, totally dominating the other 19 horses in the field, and he was now to be compared with the famous Rebo. After retirement from the racetrack, Seabird came to stand at stud in America for John W. Galbraith, and as a consequence, his legacy lives on in the world of American racing. That performance, October 3rd, 1965, at Longchamp, in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, was indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than 2 guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, Point of Entry.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
A 5-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first 4 dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in 6 countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Graded Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence and Keeneland Select. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
And a holy bull, a big afternoon, leads it by 3.5, now 4 lengths as they come to the top of the stretch in the Florida Derby. Halo's Image, second, Ride the Rail, third, Gold for Jim, fourth, Dramatic Gold. Now with an eighth of a mile to go, holy bull has led every step of the way and has a commanding 4.5, now 5 length lead. The battle will be for second. Halo's Image, Ride the Rail, and Gold for Jim. A dramatic performance this afternoon.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. It is Florida Derby Day here at Gulfstream Park, and that call from Ross Morton, Holy Bull. Who can forget that day? Holy Bull of Florida bred, and I always say the greatest racehorse of all time, so I guess that would make him the greatest Florida bred of all time. And this is the way I like to introduce our next guest, who is Lonnie Powell, who is the CEO of the FTBOA. Lonnie, good morning, and how about that little trip down memory lane?
Oh, boy, does that bring back memories. I'll tell you, you're not going to be able to put me in a jam in a pickle by picking the best Florida bread of all time, but I think you can come up with a pretty good nominee. Good morning, guys, and happy Florida Derby Day to you.
Yeah, happy to have you on board here this morning. Happy Florida Derby Day. And, of course, all of our coverage this afternoon from 5 to 7 Eastern is presented by the FTBOA. And, Lonnie, you guys are doing some amazing things to help Florida breeds and to help this program and to help the breeders. Tell me all about it.
Well, probably this year, 2018, represents one of the most major offerings of Florida bred purses and incentives maybe in the history of Florida racing and Florida bred racing. That's how exciting this is. And thanks to a lot of hard work and cooperation with our good friends at the Florida HBPA and with Gulfstream Park and the Stronic Group, we've been able to put together some amazing things for the racing program. During the course of the championship meet, we've been able to do things, including on today's Florida Derby card, where we offer some $200,000 in bonus money. And even more importantly, the summer meet getting ready to start on April 5. If you can believe this, we're going to be offering between ourselves, the HBPA and Gulfstream, over $2.8 million just in stakes races alone for Florida breds. Of course, that's going to be highlighted by the 1.4 million Florida sire stakes. But something new we're doing that isn't just for stakes horses, we're also offering $1 million in overnight bonus incentives where Florida breds basically are going to run for 5 to 10,000 more than horses, open company horses. They're going to be incentivized because Florida breds don't hesitate to run against anybody. And we're really excited about that program. By the way, it's not only just at Gulfstream. This meet that's about ready to wrap up at Tampa Bay, we also offered the most aggressive Florida bred as well as Florida sired stakes schedule in our history of the track and of the FTBOA. So a lot of exciting programs, a lot of good money. Like I like to say, if you're going to run at Gulfstream or Tampa Bay and you want to run for some seriously good money, if you're an owner, if you're a trainer, you're going to want to have a number of Florida breds in your shed row and on your stable roster.
Well, the purses have been noticeably better. Are those overnight incentives, do they count for all the races or are there specific races involved?
They're going to be select overnight races. It's in the primarily during the summer, they're going to be for two-year-olds. In all categories, all surfaces, all distances, all sexes. And then as we get towards the fall, they'll gravitate to three-year-olds. And again, it's a first time ever that it's been done. And thanks to our partners at Gulfstream and the HBPA, we collectively decided this was a good thing to do, and why not try it while keeping the stakes purses as lucrative as they are. So you're gonna see those type of bonuses show up all kinds of places. And we're also very excited. You know, we've got not only do we have our normal Florida Sire Stakes, which begins in July, August, and goes into September and October, where we have purses ranging from $100,000 to $400,000, depending on which stage of the races you're in. We also introduced a new Florida Sire Stakes race, the Wildcat Air. Sire that did himself a lot of good in the state of Florida, a lot of good for three-year-olds and up. So a new category going a flat mile on dirt. And Tampa, we added four new Florida Sire Stakes races for three-year-olds. We just got a lot going on, but I'll tell you, you couldn't get it done without cooperation and collaboration with our other partners. In 2017 going into 18, everything just really came together, and it couldn't happen at a better time. And you know, I, not that I want to brag, but heck, you got me on here, so let me brag a little bit about Florida bred. That would shock you, wouldn't it, Mike? 2017 was probably one of the best years in the history of Florida bred racing on the racetrack. If you think about it, and you guys live and breathe this sport. I mean, we had 10 runners go to the Breeders' Cup, Del Mar. Of those 10, 5 lit the board. Of the 5 that lit the board, 2 actually won and were world champions. And we had 3 Eclipse nominees. Of course, a lot of people will always remember the names now, World Approval and Caledonia Road. And it was a big year. It was a big year for Live Oak, for Charlotte Weber, Ralph Nix, Mark Cassie, the Rainbows, Acorn Farm, Florida Bred's doing things all over the place. And, I mean, it just was thrilling to see our horses do that well on the racetrack. 18 has started out pretty solid, so we're hoping for more of the same. But 17 was an amazing year for Florida Bred's on the racetrack, either in Florida, in the country, or all over the world.
Yeah, I would say that's worth bragging about, Lonnie.
I think we might as well take it when it comes. You know what I mean?
What do you think? What's the main reason that we're seeing this? You know, look, Florida Breds have always been very good. They've always had a lot of success. But now to have success at an even greater level, what are some of the things that have attributed to the success of this program?
You know, I think a lot of it is as the market has changed. And there's been a lot more focus on the higher end horses. More and more of these horses, you know, owners and buyers are not necessarily buying large volumes of horses across the country anymore. They're being more selective, but they're trying to go for the top horse. You know, it's always a gamble, but trying to go for that higher end horse. And so you have a lot of folks that are getting their hands on good horse flesh early. A lot of good planning. Some of these trainers are amazing in terms of watching where the races unfold around the country. And, you know, Florida Breds have always run beyond their pedigree and out of their skin, as you know. I mean, it's one thing that's been amazing in the history of Florida Bred racing. And, you know, I think that ultimately, it's a lot of good fortune, good luck, and a lot of good horsemanship. And I'd like to think between us and the racetrack, we're also targeting the right races out there and putting the good money out there when it comes to the races that go on in Florida. And, you know, God bless the owners like the Charlotte Webbers, Live Oaks of the world that each and every year get up and say, hey, I want to even have a better horse this year. And just because I got a Breeders' Cup or an Eclipse, doesn't mean I'm done. I want more of those. I mean, it's that sporting type attitude amongst some of our Florida people, too, that I think, and those folk type of folks exist in other states, obviously, but we're here to talk about Florida. So I just think we're pretty blessed in a lot of ways in terms of what's going on at the racetrack.
Well, there is a rich tradition of breeding here in the state, and you have farms like Glen Hill Farm on the rise, breeding some fantastic horses here in Florida. Double Diamond Farm, Mr. Disney keeping first dude here instead of shipping him off to Kentucky. So all of those things together, you know, really pull the industry together. Plus, everybody likes to race where they live. And, you know, a lot of...
Jude, I just want to, because you're onto something that's really important. A lot of these folks could race any place. And as we know, and I've seen this in other parts of the country, some of the real sporting owners, they could race any place, but they love to race them where it's home. And I'm glad you brought up Mr. Disney and Double Diamond Farm and the legacy of First Dude, because there's a perfect example of a man that's been committed to Florida Breds gosh knows how long. And he still gets up every day, and I'll tell you, he likes getting those trophies. He likes being in that winner's circle, and he's just he's a captain of industry and a sporting guy. Just one more example of the type of folks and a number of the farms, the history with Glen Hill, the Ocala studs. The list goes on. The Gil Campbell stable. I mean, these folks have campaigned seriously, campaigned hard, and they get up each and every year and do it again. So I'm really glad you brought that point up.
Lonnie Powell with us. He's the CEO of the FTBOA, and he's with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Lonnie, so let's spell it out for this afternoon, for example. A Florida bred who finishes 1, 2, or 3 in the Florida Derby will share a $100,000 bonus. A Florida Sire Stakes Florida bred will receive another $100,000 win bonus. And then there's an additional $100,000 up for grabs, with $50,000 being in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. That's a Florida bred bonus. And then $25,000 Florida bred bonus in both the Sanibel Island and Cutler Bay. That's some serious incentive, my friend.
Thank you very much. And, you know, a lot of thanks go out to PJ Campo on that one, because I come up with these crazy ideas all the time about how we can incentivize certain races and be part of their bigger days. One thing I love about the Stronach Group is nobody puts on bigger days and bigger events than they do. And beginning with the Pegasus last year and moving forward, we've partnered on a lot of these big days, and Florida Derby Day, Those are all new incentives you're talking about. They've never existed before. And, you know, even though you can't always be lucky enough to give that money away, we want to give it away because it's it just is great for the Florida Breads, for Gulfstream, and for the industry. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot more of this to come, by the way. Like I said, started out on Pegasus Day card, and you're going to see us and Gulfstream partnering on these big days. And the horsemen have been wonderful in supporting us in that direction. So thanks for mentioning it.
Yeah, even continuing throughout the spring and summer meet, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's correct. We're gonna keep things going, and again, the summer will kick off that million and overnights to that, incentives that never existed before. So we're really trying to touch all levels of racing. Obviously, hoping so many of these horses climb up the ladder of success and compete at the highest levels. But you know, we're here to do our own economic stimulation package, if you will, for our own industry here.
All right, well, we'll encourage you to visit ftboa.com for more details on all of those promotions and all the incentives that you can look forward to if you're racing here in the state of Florida and if you're part of that Florida Bred program, because it is tremendous. That's ftboa.com. Lonnie, really appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of our friends at Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you, and appreciate you being with us. And thanks for all your support of the coverage this afternoon.
Thank you so much, and for all the good things you guys do for getting the word out about our great sport and industry of racing. You guys do a great job. Thank you very much. And again, happy Florida Derby Day. And don't forget, Florida Bred's running in the Emirates Derby as well. It's around the world today. Let's root for the Florida Breds.
Let's do it. Let's get them all home. Happy Easter, too, Lonnie.
Same to you. Thank you guys very much.
All right, Lonnie Powell. And, yeah, what a great job he's doing here in the state of Florida. And that program, JT, really, really rock solid right now.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, everybody has to step up to the plate. Because there's some really good state bred programs around, and you don't want to be left behind. You don't want people jumping ship on you, and it's good that Florida's doing that. They do have some really nice farms here and very successful people, so it's great to see.
If you are just joining us on the program this morning, well, first of all, shame on you for just tuning in now, but we'll forgive you. It's Easter weekend. I'm in a good mood. So
they were watching the Marlins game, 17 innings.
Yeah. Is that over yet?
I think so, yeah. I think Joe Madden's just getting home.
You left after the eighth inning last night?
Yeah, yeah, because I had to work this morning.
What time did the game end?
12:30.
Wow.
I listened to the rest of it, but, yeah, 12:30.
You stayed up until 12:30 to listen to it.
Well, I didn't stay up. I was in bed, but I couldn't I couldn't turn it off in my head. You know?
Yeah, it was compelling drama.
Yeah. Well, they were down to – they didn't even have any bench players left. It was one of those games, you know. So, but anyway, the Marlins got the job done, beat the Cubs, so that was good for the Marlins.
All right. Well, again, if you're just joining us, our coverage this afternoon comes your way 5 to 7 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, and, of course, locally in the Lexington market on 96.1 FM. And you can also tune in worldwide on our website, and you can do that, Bluetooth it in your car, take us with you on your phone, whatever it might be. That's horseracingradio.net. We're going to get to a break. Jonathan Thomas is with us in the next segment. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Power.
And Tafazara, sterling performance today. Tafazara and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But it's Monomoy Girl and the Rachel Alexandra Stakes. LaRonge Rue and Monomoy Girl, 1/3.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, now with more than $3 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, who discovered a new racing style while winning the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra at the fairgrounds, closing from last to blow by the field in the stretch. Monomoy Girl is now being pointed for Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence and Keeneland Select.
At the top of the stretch, Mississippi comes away with the lead, but the whip is out. Navy Armguard on the outside is there. Sourdough battles on as well. 3/16 to go. Mississippi has to hold off Navy Armguard on the outside, who's a half length behind with a furlong left. Mississippi still in front. Navy Armguard's been trying to get by the entire stretch. Still a length and a half behind as they come down to the wire. And it will be Mississippi by 2 lengths in the end. Navy Armguard second by 8. Sourdough was third, and Into My Dreams was fourth.
Pete Aiello with the call of that victory at Churchill Downs for Mississippi. That was back last November. Last two starts, he's been second, looking to turn that into a first-place finish again this afternoon under jockey Julian Laperreux for trainer Mark Cassie. You're going to hear from Julian coming up in just a little bit, second half of the program. That second half includes interviews with Julian Laperreux, with Hall of Famer John Velasquez, Mark Henning, and with Dale Romans. All that's still to come. Of course, Mike Nyman and our Road to the Florida Derby contest winner, Mark Wimsatt, are set to join us in person in hour number two as well. But our friend Jonathan Thomas has made his way by, and better late than never, my friend. I'm telling you, we were getting emails, we were getting tweets, and where the hell's Jonathan?
All for my grandmother, I would think.
Where in the world is Jonathan?
Happy to have you on board.
Well, happy to be here.
Yeah, Catholic boy going to the post this afternoon. Easter weekend, mm-hmm. Couldn't be any more appropriate. There's a hunch play.
Definitely a hunch weekend. If Chicago Loyola can pull it off tonight and we can pull something off today, it'll be... You know, there'll be a lot of celebrating, I'm sure.
Sister Jean going to the Kentucky Derby?
We'll hire her. if she needs to make an appearance, we'll definitely find a way.
Well, look, you bring in Catholic Boy, and he's going to make his second start in his 3-year-old campaign. We talked before the Sam F. Davis, and I told Jude, I got the impression after visiting with you on this program that, look, he doesn't have to be fully cranked. He doesn't have to win this one today. He's doing well. We like where he is, but... this is not the ultimate goal. How about today?
This would have a lot more bearing, in a horse's long-term career, potentially as a stallion. And, you know, it's a big feather in his cap as a racehorse. So we're treating this race like it's a Grade 1. I mean, it is a prep, but it has a lot of value in its own right. So we're not coming in here, half-cocked. I mean, we're... came in and got him settled in and you know, thought he had a really nice work over the racetrack. And I think it's interesting this time of year, physically, in retrospect, he's actually growing. And he kind of went through a little bit of a growth curve, and he's just kind of coming right to me now. So it's interesting balancing the horse's physical act, you know, part that you have no control over, and then actually trying to train them up to a race, and it's trying to strike that balance, and hopefully one doesn't encumber the other. But it's funny, he's really done great here the last 2 weeks, and you know, I honestly feel we're bringing a stronger horse over this time.
Yeah, I heard that from Richard Migliori, who I think is a pretty good judge. I mean, he's a really smart guy, and he has a great eye in the paddock and this and that. And we had a long conversation at the sale on Wednesday afternoon, and he told me, he said, dude, this horse just looks fantastic. I can't believe how good he looks. So, you know, that kind of backs you up on what you just said, and it's got to give you a lot of confidence coming in here. I mean, I've been a fan of this horse from day one, and I thought he was an absolute lock in the rims, and I loved the move to the dirt. I don't know why, I just felt like he was going to blossom, and he just continues to improve. I mean, his last race, people say, oh, he got beat. He ran the best Brisnet speed figure that he's ever run in his life.
Correct.
And I don't know about the other ones, but, you know, I mean, that was a tremendous move forward off a little rest, which you see horses do when they finally get a break. 2 year olds get a little break, and then they come back. They usually move way forward, and he did, and that's what you want to see.
It is. I mean, he definitely made a numerical progression, you know, in the right direction. You know, there were a couple nuances being parked wide, and maybe nitpicking kind of picking at the pace a little bit instead of just getting buried and making one run. There were a couple little dynamics there. Obviously, you know, I would have loved to have seen him polish it off, but, you know, he got a lot out of it, and Flame Away came back and ran a pretty gutsy effort. And now, retrospect, or hindsight's always 20/20, but he is getting a lot better hold of this racetrack, and he seems to be a lot more confident, and it feels like he's grabbing it and pushing off of it. Where at Tampa, I went back and watched his work before and versus this work, and I felt like maybe it was just breaking away from him a little bit. I'm not blaming the track at all, but it's amazing in these bigger races because of the quality level, the details really become that much more important. Your trip, the track, the pace, just those little things, because ideally the first four horses today, I mean, there's very little separating them from a right talent perspective.
You're going to make a rider change today. You give a leg up to jockey Irad Ortiz Jr. after Manny Franco had been aboard in each of the past four starts on Catholic Boy. Talk about that decision.
Well, those decisions are always difficult to make. I mean, Manny was instrumental in getting this horse to where we were. And, you know, we threw him up at Saratoga on a horse that he had never been on, and he rode him like he was the best horse. You know, we were coming out of Gulfstream. I mean, you know, I'm just starting to make a little bit, you know, of headway in the training ranks. So, you know, but, I'm basically an unknown guy bringing a horse up from Gulfstream to Saratoga, legging Manny up, and he rode him like, you know, he was riding for anybody else. So we really owe a lot to him. But when you get in these waters here, you just can't leave anything to risk. And the fact that, you know, it was kind of odd, Irad's camp and our camp kind of reached out to each other simultaneously and met in the middle. It wasn't kind of, you know,
yeah,
trying to get each other, but we just like locked up, you know, actually before the Fountain of Youth with Promises Fulfilled. So it was kind of already done. Obviously that made it a little bit harder, I'm sure, for him, but we just said, look, you know, you can, it's your decision and whatever you think's best. We're not going to hold it against you. But I think his style of riding, he's a very patient rider, who I think can give this horse just a really quiet, good ground-saving trip and produce him. I'd love to just produce him once, you know, just kind of clock it. And maybe, I don't think, we're not going to be making the first move, probably not making the second move, but we're hopefully making that third move, you know, depending on the pace scenario.
You talk like a guy that's ridden a couple races.
Well, I rode just enough to kind of get a feel for it, but I could never put myself in, you know, these guys' shoes. And a lot of times we just leg them up and let them do what they do best. I hate getting in a guy's way, but, you know, I just love to see him ridden a little patiently.
Do we have a little bit of a David Goliath situation going on here? Because you tackle Todd Pletcher, who you know very, very well. spent some time working with Todd. And now you have to try to take on Todd, who's won more Florida Derbies than anybody in history.
I wouldn't call it intimidating because, you know, he's such a great guy. It's, you know, I still to this day, even, you know, I'm always rooting for him and his team, and, you know, I still feel like part of the family. So it's hard to ever look at it competitively. I kind of look at it more, it's a real privilege to be, you know, participating in something like this and, you know, suiting up with a guy like Todd or a guy like Dale. It's like, you know, being able to put on a uniform and play with LeBron. I mean, you know, I don't know if I belong, but it's certainly a privilege to be there.
Yeah, sometimes you look around the paddock when you're you know, first starting out, and you're not really first starting out. I mean, you're getting pretty famous now, but you win a lot of races. You do very well, and but you look around and you go, "Wow, this is amazing." You know, that happened to me one time at Louisiana Downs. I was in a grade three, but most of the Phillies, there were seven in there that had won a grade one.
Oh, wow.
And I look around, and you know, John Veach is there, and Laz Barrera is there, and Charlie Whittingham is there, and I go, "What the heck is this?" You know, I'm in Louisiana Downs.
The Santa Anita Colony came out with you.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, you know, I wasn't intimidated, but I felt like, wow, that's cool that I've gotten to this point where I actually have a Philly that.
Yeah.
And she got beat in nose because I gave bad instructions. But but it's just, you know, it's really cool when you get to do that, I think.
It is. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that anytime any of us take out a trainer's license or ride, you know, whatever we do, we're doing it. So eventually we get these kind of opportunities. So I don't think you can, you know, dismiss them. And you have to enjoy what you're doing and soak it up. And, you know, hopefully this isn't our last time doing something like this. I'm also trying to, you know, look at it as a learning opportunity. So down the road, but ultimately, you know, in these situations, the horses make your life harder or easier. And in this case, he makes life very easy on us and our team. You know, we all sat down, like I said before, and just said, look, we got to treat it like another race. We got to do what's right by him and keep a good, quiet environment. And I mean, the horse really keeps everybody calm because he's simple to deal with.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here, and knowing Todd the way that I know Todd, I bet you if you win today, he'll be the first person to text you, congratulate you.
I would say that's very likely. I mean, he's even on a smaller scale at smaller races. I mean, he's always been a guy to reach out and give a pat on the back. And, you know, that means the world to me.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. Jonathan Thomas with us here on HRRN. We have to get to the break here at the top of the hour, but Jonathan, appreciate you stopping by, spending a little time with us, and go get it done with Catholic Boy today. Good luck.
We're going to try, and thank you guys for all that you do. You know, you've served me well on a lot of long road trips and kept me up to par on everything, so I really appreciate what you all bring to the table.
Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, you too. Go get it done, huh?
Thanks.
All right, Jonathan Thomas, like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff. It is
Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide. And Keeneland Select.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second. Then Neolithic. Back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate rocks in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch. Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solomini, and Boldoro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, rolling on from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. It is Florida Derby Day on this Easter weekend, and happy to have you back with us. If you missed any portion of the program, simply head over to our website. That's horseracingradio.net. You can check out a podcast at your leisure. You can do that on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet. And that's the same way you can listen to us later today when we go on the air at 5 o'clock Eastern, 5 to 7 Eastern, coverage of the Florida Derby, presented by the FTBOA. Listen to us on our website, horseracingradio.net, on Sirius XM, Channel 93, and locally in the Lexington, Kentucky market on 96.1 FM. Big day of racing, Jude. We've had a couple of guests on with us already, including Lonnie Powell from the FTBOA and Jonathan Thomas just a minute ago talking about Catholic Boy. You have to be impressed with a guy like Jonathan Thomas, the way that he carries himself, the way that he presents himself and his operation and his horses. He really does a tremendous job.
Yeah, he's a very talented guy, and you can tell by talking to him that, you know, he loves the game and he wants everything to be as smooth as possible. So, you know, it was interesting when he said the horse, you know, made him and his crew be more relaxed, and that's an ideal situation, because a lot of times when you have a stakes horse in your barn, people start getting nervous as the races get closer, and you know, can kind of throw the horse off the game. But that's what you want. You want everybody to be cool, just like they would be on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I like the way Jonathan said that he would bring Sister Jean to the Kentucky Derby if Loyola were able to win today. And he wins today. I think there might be some karma there. Our good friend Dick Downey of the Downey Profile tweeted to us as well, and he said, "Hey, guys, don't forget the omen for Catholic Boy that Notre Dame women's basketball upset undefeated UConn last night, too." So there's a lot of good karma going on with the Catholic community.
the Catholics are at it right now.
Yeah, so, they are.
Well, I think they should bring Sister Jean no matter what. Loyola's just done an awesome thing this year, and Sister Jean a big part of that. So I think they ought to bring her regardless of the result.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would be a big addition to the Kentucky Derby.
We threw out the poll question this morning. You can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter or on our Facebook page, Horse Racing Radio Network. We want to know, who is your pick to win today's Florida Derby? And we gave you a few different choices: Audible, Promises Fulfilled, Catholic Boy, or Other. And, of course, you have to specify, if you choose Other, who you feel will be the one to win. Well, right now, it is Catholic Boy who is comfortably in front. 40% of the vote coming in for Catholic Boy. Audible second with 29%. And then the Other category is in third with 21%. And it looks like, in terms of the replies that we're getting, Strike Power is one that a lot of people have their eye on. Mississippi also getting a vote there as well.
Yeah, you can't knock either one of those. Just a really competitive race. You know, Strike Power, he was pretty good in the Fountain of Youth. And Mississippi, that was a horse that we talked about that I kind of had on my radar as a possibility. He hasn't run since February 4th. He's getting blinkers for this. He drew the outside box. We'll see how he runs today. This is a big stepping stone for him because he doesn't have any points. He needs points in the worst possible way.
Yeah, well, speaking of Mississippi, I had the chance to stop by the jocks room here at Gulfstream yesterday and catch up with jockey Julian Leperoux. He'll be aboard Mississippi. He has been aboard that colt in all four of his career starts, and I started by asking Julian what exactly he's been able to learn about Mississippi in those four outings.
Well, we always like him. I think he ran a big race at Churchill when he broke his maiden, and then he's got 2 seconds here at Gulfstream. Two very nice, good race. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. He's doing great, so we got to overcome a little bit the outside post. But it's a nice horse, so we like his chance.
We hear a lot about the outside post here at Gulfstream going a mile and an eighth. How challenging is it? What makes it so challenging?
Well, it's just because the gate are, you know, close to the turn, so you know, you don't want to be 4 or 5 wide on the first turn. But you know, after that, he breaks good, so hopefully we can save a little ground and go from there.
All right, so that last race, he comes flying at the end. He just gets beat, what, a neck, I guess, by mm-hmm. Dale's horse, who you get a rematch with in the Florida Derby. Take me back to that race. What did you feel underneath you?
Well, and even the race before, we got beat by Noble Indy that won the Louisiana Derby. So two horses that very nice horses. So even if he finished second twice here, he got beat by two good horses. But I think he's right now, he's doing great, so hopefully we can beat him this time.
Give me the key to victory on Saturday. What's the number one thing that you have to have go right for you in order to win that race?
Well, the number one thing is Mississippi is doing great. That's the main thing. If we break good and we get a good position, after that, that's his job to go from there.
You know, a few weeks ago, I had a chance to talk to Mark Cassie, and he had some very nice things to say about you being part of the team. And he said, you know, I like working with nice people and with good people, and that's how he described you. What would it mean to win the Florida Derby for Mark Cassie?
Well, I feel the same way. You know, I like to work for them. It feels like a team. We win, you know, many good races together. But Florida Derby will be amazing. All the owners, Mississippi's owners, have been a big help for me too during my career. So and the whole team will be great to win this for them.
Next week, you're going to turn your attention to Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky. That's a track that's been very good to you. I went back and looked at some of those stats. 11 riding titles, 6 in the spring, 5 in the fall. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, your first riding title in both of those meets came in 2006. It's a great meet, isn't it?
Yeah. Keeneland is special to me. I think it's my favorite meet. The fan, the track. I mean, everybody there is awesome, and I can't wait to be there next week.
Think about that day in 2006. It's hard to believe that's been 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
You win both the spring meet and the fall meet titles. What do you remember about that year?
I mean, it goes fast, definitely. But, my first meet, 2006, I went there not expecting too much. We just came from tough weather where we had amazing meet over there. So, you have to step up to go to Keeneland, though. And I didn't expect anything and end up winning the title. So that was nice.
You know, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. All these titles, all these wins. As a matter of fact, I think you're fourth in all-time wins at Keeneland with 451, I believe the number is. All of those victories, there's got to be a couple that stand out to you, maybe more than others. I know we didn't talk about this before, so I'm putting you on the spot. How about it? There are a couple that stand out more than others?
No, I mean, it's tough to say. You know, they're all special, but, one of my favorite is Tepin. So every win I had with Keeneland was special to me, especially the Breeders' Cup. Bluegrass, obviously, is always special to win those kind of races. But any race at Keeneland is great, yeah.
So I was right. It's 451 career victories. Put you fourth on the all-time list. You're behind only Pat Day, Don Brumfield, and Robbie Alvarado.
It's not bad at all, right? But, like I say, it's my favorite meet, and hopefully we can add up a couple wins this year.
Can you ever imagine? You're growing up in France. You're thinking about being a jockey, and then all of a sudden we're standing here today, and we're talking about you being fourth all-time at a meet like Keeneland. You ever imagine?
Never thought about it. You know, it was surreal. You know, when I came here in 2003, my intention was really to come here and experience something different, learn the language, being young and just wanting the experience and love the country. So I decided to stay and always wanted to be a jockey and, you know, get a great opportunity. So now looking back is amazing, and I definitely didn't think it was going to happen for sure.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well for you, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
Julian Leperoux here on HRRN. Appreciate it. Good luck in the Florida Derby. Good luck at Keeneland.
Thank you very much.
Now, one of the classiest guys you're going to meet in the sport of thoroughbred racing, Julian Leperoux, taking the time to talk with me yesterday. A couple of quick things there, Jude, before we get to our next interview, and that's your visit with Mark Hennig yesterday. Julian talking about the outside post and overcoming the outside post and how important the break is and being able to get into a good position with the gate being so close to that first turn. I think that's number one. Number two is he needs a big effort from Mississippi today if they're even going to plan on going to Louisville here in a few weeks, because he has no points right now in this standing. So he needs to be first or second to ensure that he'll have enough points to get into the Derby.
Yeah, I think that's big, and I'm sure he knows it. I'm sure Mark Cassie's impressed that upon him. So, but the nice thing about having Julian on, if it's not going to happen, he's not going to, try to try to make it happen. He's going to do the right thing by the horse, and so that's the plus of having Julian Leperoux. That was a very good interview, I have to say. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Julian, so easy to talk with, and again, one of the classiest guys that you'll meet. Really good guy in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Another good guy is trainer Mark Hennig, and as I mentioned, Jude stopped by the barn yesterday, had a chance to talk to Mark about his Florida Derby contender, Strike Power.
Mark, this horse in three races has had quite a career.
He has. I mean, we've thrown a lot at him quickly, Jude, and it's been a lot to ask of him, but I think he's handled each hurdle well, and surprisingly, he came out of the Fountain of Youth in excellent shape and has actually, like, thrived on the work and gotten heavier and eaten great, and I think he's training better now than he has ever.
Laz Barrera told me one time that any horse can go the distance. You just have to train him to do it. A lot of people think there's distance limitations for Strike Power. Talk about how you've trained him to go longer and why you think he can go even farther.
Well, I think, the first time going around two turns, I thought that was the most, going to be the most telling thing. You know, he was either going to not drive at it or not. And I thought, the fact that we rated a little bit that day, he handled it very well. I just basically stretched out his gallops a lot. I kind of had trained him behind horses for that last race, the Fountain of Youth, just because I thought that, I didn't know what was going to develop. There was a couple horses in there that, were potentially, just run off, go to the lead kind of horses. And I just thought, he's not going to go his whole career on the lead, so he might as well find out if he can rate a little bit. Not that that's the goal, in this race or down the road. I mean, I just kind of felt like I told Luis, if somebody really wants to go, I was a little concerned about him getting the distance, so I didn't want him to get in a speed duel his first time going long. I think the way he ran and the fact that he continued onto the wire and Good Magic wasn't making any ground up on him from the quarter pole home, that, the mile and an eighth is certainly within reach because it's only 16th of a mile further.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of Spitestowns run long on the grass, and of course he's got Medaglia d'Oro on the bottom side, so he has every right to go on, and he really was impressive to me rating and finishing last time.
Yeah, and he has, like I said, he's developing. He's an April 24th foal. I think he's longer now than he was in December. He's getting rangier. He's growing. Who knows at the end of the day if any of these things want to go a mile and a quarter. We're not going to find that out until first Saturday of May, and then, we'll find out Saturday whether we're even in the race.
Well, your assistant, Saul, is planning on winning the Florida Derby, and he also told me he's taking Sunday off if that happens, so just so you're aware.
I'll bet he doesn't.
Do you share the same enthusiasm? Are you optimistic going in? You've had a fantastic meeting.
We're optimistic. I mean, like I said, the horse is doing great. Whether he's good enough, we're going to find out. I don't ever like to predict anything, but I think that I do know that he's doing great.
Well, that was trainer Mark Hennig with Jude yesterday. Nice job with him, Jude. And you think about some of the things that Mark said in that interview and the Strike Power learning to rate a little bit before that Fountain of Youth, and he did that with him in the mornings, and he was outrun by Promises Fulfilled, but he dug in and he kept running through the stretch in that Fountain of Youth. And Mark alluded to the fact that Good Magic wasn't getting to him, and I think that that's a feather in the cap of Strike Power, especially moving forward in today's Florida Derby.
Yeah, I think so. I was impressed with his race. I thought he ran a very good race. Of course, I'm a friend of Mark's and a fan of Mark's. We've known one another a long time. But I thought he's really done a great job with this horse. A lot of people have asked me, oh, do you think Strike Power is going to blast off and go with Dale's horse? And I don't really think he is. I think he's going to assert himself from his inside post and use that to his advantage. But I can't imagine Sias hooking up in a speed duel going a mile and an eighth with promises fulfilled. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I guess it'll all depend on the riders. But, you know, Mark's horse blew out good, 47-4, best of the morning. I think he's coming up to this race in excellent shape. He's a beautiful horse, and he's got a lot of talent. So might as well give him a chance now and see where he fits with the best of the best.
All right, still to come, you're going to hear from Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez, who rides the morning line favorite Audible. He's won more Florida Derbies than any jockey in history. And we'll get a chance to hear from Johnny coming up later on in the program. And Jude had a chance to catch up with Dale Romans yesterday, so you're going to hear that interview coming up in just a little bit as well. Mike Nyman, Mark Wimsatt, set to join us on the other side of our next break. Mike, the director of marketing here at Gulfstream, and Mark is our contest winner, the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. That was a contest we've run the past couple of months here on the network through our website. And Mark from Louisville, Kentucky, taking down the top prize. So he is here with his brother as they won a trip for two, or he won a trip for two, to this year's Florida Derby. So we'll get a chance to visit with both of them coming up in our next segment. But it is time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. The PDJF will be holding its first telethon on TVG coming up on April 8th. That's right, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund is delighted to announce on April 8th its first telethon live on TVG Network in association with Betfair. America's racing community will join together to support the great work of the PDJF, which provides benefits to nearly 60 former riders each month who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries. Superstar guest jockeys of today and yesterday will be waiting at the other end of the line from 1 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Viewers, players, or fans can call 1-800-TVG-PDJF to say hello and make a donation to support the PDJF's mission. And some of the Hall of Famers that will be there are current Hall of Famers Mike Smith, John Velasquez, and Javier Castellano, as well as retired Hall of Famers Pat Day, Chris McCarron, Ramon Dominguez. So a big, big event coming up. It's the TVG PDJF Telethon on April 8th, and that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. Don't miss any of the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep races and through the Triple Crown. All that race coverage like only Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. And we're back to visit with Mike Nyman and Mark Wimsatt. That's in the next segment. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide, and by Keeneland Select.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Presented by Red Brand, manufacturer of Keepsake V-mesh and non-climb horse fence, trusted by farms and veterinarians worldwide.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Come on out to Santa Anita today for great racing and good times, and bring the family tomorrow for our infield Easter egg hunt. It's the biggest in the San Gabriel Valley. Fans, we're now just 1 week away from an epic rematch in the Grade 1 $1 million Santa Anita Derby, as both DeOro and McKenzie are both committed to running America's most important Kentucky Derby prep. Fans, our revamped wagering menu now includes $2 win, place, and show parlay wagers and 50-cent trifectas. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win Going Away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
It's Snapper Sinclair game. He's reaching for the line. It's Snapper Sinclair to do it.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And they're at the top of the stretch, Jess Talkin', Jess Playin', as she kicks it into another gear. Jess Talkin' bids this field a Sunday good afternoon. 1-2 and going like one. Jess Talkin' in an absolute jog.
Jess Talkin', the daughter of Darley Stallion Midshipman and full sister to 11-time stakes winner Lady Shipman, won a 5-furlong turf allowance at Gulfstream on Sunday by 6 1/4 lengths, getting a buyer of 93. That stellar effort makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion 2-year-old and record-breaking Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, enjoyed a big weekend this past Saturday and Sunday, which included Jess Talkin', Navy Armed Guard, winner of an 8-furlong maiden special weight at Tampa, and In the Navy, who scored an 8-furlong turf allowance at Fairgrounds. To learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence and Keeneland Select.
Going into the Fountain of Youth, he had missed a lot of time because of the Splenny had popped in the jockey club, and it took a while to get him going this winter. And if he was going to be short, it would have been in there. I think he's just one of those rare horses that has great speed and great stamina. And when you put those two combinations together, they're almost unbeatable, because you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. If you go with them, you're not going to finish, and if you let them go, they're going to outkick you. So it'll be up to everybody else to decide whether or not they want to come out looking in the eye.
That's trainer Dale Romans talking about Promises Fulfilled, the Fountain of Youth winner who has that early speed, and yeah, he proved he has some pretty good stamina as well. You're going to hear more from Dale coming up in the next segment. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence and Keeneland Select this morning. Happy to have you back with us. Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, ready for the Florida Derby this afternoon. Our coverage comes your way 5 to 7 Eastern, exclusively on Sirius XM Channel 93. Locally in the Lexington, Kentucky market on 96.1 FM, and of course streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Mike Nyman is the Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream Park. Mark Wimsatt is very thankful that Mike Nyman came up with the concept of the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, because he won that contest, and he's here with a trip for two along with his brother for taking down the top prize. So, Mark, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you all so much. Everything has been more than I expected.
Yeah, well, Mike went above and beyond here.
Yes.
Did a nice little thing for you yesterday with a race named in your honor.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. Weather was great getting out of Kentucky, and Mike put on an unbelievable show.
And we won't mention the dead heat.
In the dead heat. I was getting ready to say it, and he had to say a dead heat. I said, he picked it, so he did do it. So.
You did call it, too.
Yes, he did.
I called the dead heat.
And then I grabbed the two jockeys after, and I said, come on, we're going to go in the back room. We're going to have an arm wrestle for the real winner.
Yeah, that was outstanding. Mark got a chance to see his name in the program associated with that third race yesterday, and then to have it come up as a dead heat, that was pretty special.
Yeah, no doubt. And even the photographer said to me, she don't even remember a presentation where there was a dead heat. So you get two for one.
All right, Mark, so how'd you do it? What was the key to taking down the top prize?
XY Jet. I said, honestly, he won two races for me, and Lone Speed both times. And then, of course, today he's running also at Dubai. He was the what really got me over the top, and also I picked against Heart to Heart at 3-5. Unfortunately, he got left in the gate that day, but that was what really got me over the top, was XLI Jet.
You were so consistent. I mean, your horses ran first or second every time. I mean, and you played every race. You know, we had a guy that was on the lead, and then he didn't play the next week, and I go, this guy must have passed away.
Right? Well, we hope not.
We hope not, but I mean, how do you do that? But you were so consistent, because I was monitoring the contest and you know, making sure the standings were correct and stuff, and And it was just amazing. Your performance was outstanding, really. I mean, you really never had a threat. I mean, with 2 weeks left of the contest, you were the winner.
Well, a lot of it's luck. And, yeah. and looking at how the race set up, and a lot of the races set up, according to the track, speed was dominating. So
yeah.
And then a lot of the races were turf races.
Right.
And
is that your forte? Are you a turf?
Well, I did own a turf horse, and so I do have a little bit of more luck on the turf than I do on the dirt.
Because I like to handicap turf races, too.
I do, too. There's you all had several turf races as well, which I really enjoy. The whole format I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. It's easy to beat a race. It's not easy to beat the races. So when you just got to concentrate on that one thing and you concentrate on how it breaks down, it's a little easier than say, well, I got 14 races I got to pick.
Right, you keep focused. Yeah.
So, I mean, with your all's format was – for actually a novice would be excellent to say, you know what, let's see how this, and then if you don't even pick the right horse, you go back and see how that horse won.
Right.
So,
and that, plus you're using the best race usually of the day.
Of the day.
So you have really nice, consistent horses here at Gulfstream. The stakes are all, you know, first class. They may not all be grade ones, but they're all good. Right. So,
well, you know they're good when the Ortiz brothers pack their bags and come down. That tells you all you need to know.
Well, if you like betting good races, Mike, he's got his choice today of several outstanding races. What a card this is today.
It's an amazing card. I mean, of course, everybody talks about the Florida Derby, the feature race of the day, but how about the undercard? It's amazing. You get Always Dreaming coming back, who won the Florida Derby here last year and won the Kentucky Derby back as a four-year-old running in the Heartacre Mile, and there's some really good horses in that race as well. So that should be an exciting race. I'm really looking forward to that. And, of course, you know, the Florida Derby is going to be a great race. We have some great turf races. The Honey Fox, a great at stake. So the whole card is amazing. And, you know, everybody, of course, is talking about the Rainbow Six, the last six races. It starts with race nine today. And, boy, you got to really work on race nine just to get past that. 11 horses on the turf, maidens. And those are always tough races. So, you know, and even yesterday, the pick six, the Consolation, paid really nice. There was a couple of good long shots in the sequence. So, but today it all goes. You're probably going to see at least $20 million, maybe up to $25 million in the pool. So,
wow.
You know, for 20 cents, it's a great, great play.
Yeah, you can bet as little as 20 cents, 2 dimes.
How about that?
Walk away with millions.
Yes. Mark, are you going to play it?
Yes, I will. Because it's guaranteed. You know, like I said, it's guaranteed. So you don't have to. Not one person's going to win it today. It's going to be guaranteed paid out. So even if you hit six out of six, and there's several favorites in there, you could win 10 or 15 or 20,000 just for a very small bet. So,
right.
Yeah,
and the $5 million that carries over, there's no takeout in that. It's only in the money that's bet on today.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, right.
That's even better.
So it's
free
phenomenal.
Money.
Yeah.
Basically free $4 million.
Five.
Yeah. Well, close to five. But I mean, with the takeout and all of that stuff, you know, I mean, it really is free money to the people that play. So.
Yes.
You can't bet it.
You work for days like this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's everybody's talking about it. I've had several people contact. Are you putting in a sheet? everybody wants it.
Well, that's it. You can do it with a group of people too, right? You can get a whole group of people together, and even if you have to split it with 10 of your best friends, you can still make a pretty good score and still pick up some nice money.
You see a lot of that here. I mean, everybody I run into, everybody's in partnerships. I got 5%, I got 8%, I got 20%, you know.
And it makes sense sometimes because, you know, several eyes looking at the past performances are better than just one. I mean, you know, it's nice to say, oh, I picked it myself and I won it. But a lot of times you might have a friend or a relative that likes to handicap and they see something that you don't see, or they've been to the races more often than you have and they know trips or whatever. So it helps if you have a group of people in together and get people's different ideas and hope you don't take the wrong horse off the sheet.
who wins the Florida Derby today, guys? Mark, what do you think?
Personally, I like Catholic Boy, but I think Strike Power is going to the lead and not look back. I will play Catholic Boy in the Derby. I call him a stalker. He's not going to be too far back. He's going to be in the first flight. And I think Strike Power be promises fulfilled. And, that last race by Strike Power is a lot better than what it looks.
I'm going through right now looking for Catholic Boy just to see how many points he has to his credit. And he has 14 points, so he needs a big effort today. Mm-hmm. He's still not in the Derby field. He's going to need, well, I guess he could be third and get enough points to be in the mix for the Kentucky Derby, but he needs a big run today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'm on him also. I mean, Irad Ortiz, what a great meet. And then, of course, you know, with Loyola of Chicago today, it's like all fits in. Good Friday yesterday, Sunday tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, with Passover, too, I was kind of looking for Matzah Boy, but
he ain't in there.
But I'm going to give you one long shot. You know, I love Bill Mott and Jose Ortiz or Hofberg. So, you know, you got to look for something big in there to try to get into the ticket. And I'm going to use him also.
It would be a first Florida Derby win for Bill Mott. Think about that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Eh?
Isn't that hard to believe?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, unreal. It should be a great race. Again, we're going to have the coverage for you this afternoon, 5 to 7 Eastern, presented by the FTBOA. It kicks off on Sirius XM 93. And, of course, you can listen worldwide on our website, too, at horseracingradio.net, and take us with you wherever you may be. What other promotions and special events are taking place today? Something about a Divas and Dudes hat contest?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be huge today. That's going to take place right after the horses leave the walking ring in the eighth race. We're going to have probably at least 200 entrants, if not more. It's sponsored by Christina Moore. Everybody's familiar with her and her millinery and her hats, and also Maker's Mark. So they're both part of it, and they have Maker's Mark and has a judge, and so does Christina Moore will be a judge, and then we have three celebrity judges. So there'll be five judges, and it's going to be a really cool event. We always have a good time with that here.
Mark, did you bring your hat?
No, not today.
Should have had it yesterday, right?
No, I don't need a hat here because I love the sun.
but he bought his brother Patrick.
That's right. Yeah, so Patrick played in the contest too, right?
Yes, actually all four people at work played. We did it for fun because I love listening to you every Saturday morning, and I said, well, let's just see who's the best handicapper, and then just got lucky.
Yeah, and you're a Louisville guy.
Yeah,
right?
And from Louisville.
Been involved in horse racing as an owner.
Yes.
Take us back through your background just a little bit.
I had horses for several years, and I learned from an excellent handicapper named Billy Ashbrenner. And Billy taught me how to read the form and understand the actually pace makes the race, and you go from there and then work backwards from there. And everything he taught me is spot on. He was an excellent horseman that was what I would say didn't ever have the upper echelon horses. He was a hard-working hard boot is what they call him in Kentucky, that did a phenomenal job with what he had to work with.
Yeah.
And he claimed a horse for us one time called Aircraft. It was phenomenal.
You know, just talking about who teaches you how to handicap, I have to go way back. It was my high school biology teacher who was giving me passes to go out in the afternoon to the track. And he had the form on his desk every day, if you can imagine that going to high school.
But that's how you learn, because they study. And it is something you got to study. It's something you just can't say, well, I'm going to learn. No, it takes work.
Yeah, my dad owned variety store, a convenience store in Massachusetts, and there was a gentleman, an older gentleman, that would come in every day and get the racing form, and he would sit at the table in the back corner, and he would make his own speed figures. His name was Lonnie Froyo, and that's how I became hooked on handicapping. I would sit down with him, and he would show me how to make the speed figures, and he did his own, and that's how he would play the races, and I got into it, you know, through watching him do his figures.
It's amazing. My dad and my uncle taught me, but I have Billy Ashbrenner's book. He gave me when I was running handicapping contests at Keeneland. He signed a book for me.
Well, then you know our horse is on the front.
Is that your aircraft? Oh, is that
that's Aircraft.
Yeah. And then along with your story, it's one of those things where you get involved and somebody finds out you're a handicapper. My vice principal used to send pink slips for me to come in. Are you going to the track? Everybody thought I was a derelict. But are you going to the track? Yeah. You know, he always kept $2,000 in the safe at school because his wife didn't like him to go to the track. So I'd run bets for him out to the track. But everybody thought I was in trouble all the time because I'm always going to the vice principal. I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson needs to see you. I knew what was coming.
So, Mark, what's the rest of the weekend entail? You're going to be here tomorrow morning as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're going to stay tomorrow as well and be back here. We're going to come back right to Gulfstream because it's the best place to watch racing, and actually to watch the whole facilities are phenomenal, because when I came to Gulfstream, it was nothing like this.
Right.
It's actually, anybody that hadn't been here, it's like paradise. You don't just have to like the horses. You can just like anything about this place. It's phenomenal. And then you can throw in the horses because the money is pretty good if you get lucky.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
No, Mike, you put together a tremendous package. I know Mark certainly appreciates it. His brothers having a great time with him here today.
Y'all went up and beyond.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
Great stuff. You know, we talk about this a lot, Mike. You get it. You understand the customer, the fan experience, and when they come here, you'll bend over backwards to take care of them.
Love to do it. I love my job. I love getting people involved and being part of this whole operation. I mean, from the Stronachs down with Tim Ritfo, working with him for the last 8 years, and how passionate he is about the game, and really made it easy for a guy like me to come in here and do the things that I thought Gulfstream needed as far as, you know, in the marketing area. So it seems like it's paid off, and just a great place.
Yeah, I owe you a huge debt of gratitude as well. Thank you for introducing me to that steak place the other night. It was all you could. It was Texas Day Brazil, right? And all you could eat beef. I had never been to a place like this, and I'm a steak and potatoes guy. Mike says you're going to love this place, and he wasn't kidding. I mean, I kept that card on green the whole night. That was sensational. Really fun.
And I told him not to bring the fish around.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Mike Nyman, Mark Wimsatt from Louisville, Kentucky. He's the contest winner. He's enjoying a trip for two down here to the Florida Derby, and as you can tell, having a great time. Mike, as always, appreciate all your support and everything you've done throughout the championship meet. Thank you for everything, and we look forward to helping you throughout the spring and summer, too.
Yeah,
that kicks off coming up pretty soon.
Next Thursday. We have Thursday through Sunday. Spring summer starts next week, and 1 o'clock post time. We're looking forward to it. Tomorrow's the last day of the actual championship meet. And if you're here down here, come on out. We have a great giveaway. We have Customer Appreciation Day, $2 specials, hot dogs, hamburgers, etc. And we have a nice little picnic folding table that's a great giveaway. I saved the best for last, so you definitely want to be out here tomorrow. Mark, look for me. I'll have a couple for you.
Great stuff, guys. Mark, congratulations. And Mike, again, thanks so much.
Thank you all.
All right, guys. Enjoy the day.
Okay.
All right, we're going to get to another break. We'll come back on the other side of this. You'll hear from Hall of Famer John Velasquez, and you'll hear that full interview with Dale Romans. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's America's number one sandwich delivery, fast Ed speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir, freaky fast and freaky good, but I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
Oh, I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Philip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Philip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Philip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his
his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse Champion and Breeders' Cup Sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence and Keeneland Select. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
We're into the stretch of the Florida Derby, and Dunkirk has taken the lead on the outside. Quality Road battles right back with him. There goes Jojo, checked out of there, he's third. Quality Road has come back inside of Dunkirk, and he's opening up late. Here is a superstar. Quality Road wins it. Dunkirk is second. There goes Jojo and Stately Character. And that's another track record. 1 minute 47.72 seconds.
Well, Quality Road with a powerful win in the Florida Derby. That was back in 2009. The first of four Florida Derby victories for Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. And yeah, that is a record. He has won more than any other jockey, including last year with Always Dreaming. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. Here at Gulfstream Park, getting ready for the Florida Derby this afternoon. You're going to hear my interview with John Velasquez momentarily. You're also going to hear from Dale Romans, who took the time to visit with Jude yesterday morning at his barn here at Gulfstream Park. But before we get to those, we want to remind you that undefeated at two and a dual Group 1 winner and earner of just under $2 million, Ashford Studs Declaration of War also has a top-class pedigree. He's a son of Warfront out of a half-sister to Union Rags. Declaration of War has gotten off to a flying start at stud with greatest stakes winners, including actress and Speed Franco, who is going to look to add to his stakes tally today right here at Gulfstream Park. And with a selection of extremely promising horses, including Irish Territory, yet to make their seasonal debuts, 2018 is absolutely shaping up to be a huge year for Declaration of War. So call the team at Ashford for unbeatable value. Fun visit there, JT, with Mike and Mark, huh?
That was great. It's two guys that love the game, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And another person who does is Hall of Famer John Velasquez. I mentioned he's the all-time leading jockey in the history of the Florida Derby, and I caught up with him yesterday afternoon.
Johnny, you rode Audible his first two starts. You weren't aboard him the last two, including that win in the Holy Bull. That was your good friend Javier. But you were aboard him those first two races in New York. What do you remember about those races? What comes to mind?
When I first got on it, in the first two races that I rode him, he was still very green and a very, I would say, just one pace. You know, it's just kind of did not break really well. You kind of had to stay on it, make sure that he give you the best that he could. He seems to got better every race, though, you know, and he has shown so far that every race he's been on. So he's shown up a little more speed. He's more tactical and seems to get better. So hopefully he can do that in the next race.
Will you reflect back on those experiences when you get on them on Saturday in the Florida Derby? Is there anything you can take away from those first two starts that will help you in the Florida Derby?
Well, I know how he definitely is, though, you know, and I know that at first he didn't show much speed, though, you know, now he's actually at least the last two times he broke better. He put himself in a better position than then. First two time when I rode him, you know, he broke kind of sluggish out of the gate. Didn't have any much speed in the first part of the race, and it obligated you to ride him a little harder than you wanted to. Seems like the last two races he broke better and got in a better position. And if that's the case, you know, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, dropping too far back and not making the ground when you need it. If he breaks really well, I'm not going to take anything away that he's doing easy, though. And then hopefully I get a position on one and follow the horse that I need to follow.
You've won so many races in your Hall of Fame career. You've been aboard so many really good horses. How does John Velasquez, at this point in your career, prepare for a big race like the Florida Derby?
Like I do every day, or every day of the racing. You know, I do my homework. I do check onto the competition. That's the most important thing. You know, you check the competition. You see how the horses are running. the jockeys as well, obviously, and the trainers. And sometimes you get a lot of that stuff in your mind, thinking what anticipating basically what that trainer is going to tell the other jockey. But sometimes you know the trainers a lot, and you know the jockeys, so you go by what the instructions are, basically, and how the horse is been reading the past races. So those are things you want to pay attention. You pay attention to the racetrack, you know, how the track is playing, so you got to change it as it goes. So, you know, it can change race by race. It can change, you know, every two or three races. You don't know until, you know, you start watching the races and how the races are developing, though, you know. So I prepare for every little bit that can happen, and hopefully it works out. I mean, your horse has to help you. If it doesn't help you, then that's it.
You mentioned trainer instructions. You and Todd have had so much success together, including the past couple of weeks, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Todd doesn't have to give you much instruction anymore, does he?
Well, it's not much about instructions. We talk more about a strategy, you know, what we're going to do, you know, and how we think the race is going to play out. You know, it's basically that's what we talk about. And then we kind of meet in the middle. If I see something different in the race that's going to play a little bit different, or if he thinks that maybe it's a different way that I'm thinking, though, you know. So we just have to meet in the middle. For the most part, I mean, we're pretty equally, though. You know, I got to say that, you know, for a trainer and jockey to see the race and study the race the way we're expecting it and go out there, it's like, oh, I thought that's about the same thing. You know, it's very unusual.
So I mentioned the success that you've had in recent weeks, including last week with Noble Indy in Louisiana. Big effort there. Huge, huge effort.
Yeah, very, very good. You know, and we do expect them to run like that. The first time we took him over there and, you know, we took him back. We wanted to know a little bit about him, you know, try to, you know, to teach him a little bit because he's been most of the time on the lead and close to 30. So, you know, I took my chances to take him back and try to see if he had something underneath me. And he did. I mean, but he was very green down the lane in very spotty, so he didn't pass horses. So we decided to put the blinkers on. And, you know, the way the track was playing, and I ended up in here in the lead, you know, with the maiden and the race and the Lucas horse and the race, they come out running. So my horse got a little bit keen going to the first turn. That's the only thing I didn't expected of him that he was going to be that keen. He got pretty keen going to the first turn, even to the backstretch. By the half on my pole, you know, so I'm not going to fight him. I'm just going to put my hands down and let it be whatever he has to do. And he kind of opened up a little bit around the turn. I gave him a chance just to whatever he wanted to do. And all of a sudden, I mean, the horse passed me. I mean, way too soon. I was like, man, this is the long stretch. I mean, I didn't want to just gain him all the way from the, you know, 5-16 pole, you know, in before the quarter pole, basically. And I just kind of got him little by little. And when I got after him in the eight pole, he responded right away, and he put a good fight. So this is what we're expecting. You know, we knew we have a good horse, and just for him to give it out, you know. And I think the blinkers helped him, although he was a little bit keen in the first part.
Of course, if Audible runs a big race and wins on Saturday in the Florida Derby, you've got a decision to make.
No, well,
Indy, Audible, how do you do it?
I hope that'll be the case. You know, I'm hoping that you get the opportunity to win Florida Derby, and then you get the you know, to make a decision later on. You know, you see, after if that happens and this horse wins, you know, the Florida Derby, you start seeing how they work in the morning, and then you start making decisions later on. So far, I mean, Noble Indy is impressed me the way he did it. I mean, I didn't ride this horse last time out, so I want to see how he's going to do and how he's going to do during the race, and we go from there.
No jockey in history has won more Florida Derbies than you, and I know you don't keep track of stats. I've talked to you about that before. I think I asked you about it last year before the Florida Derby, and you said, well, no, that's great. I'm honored to be in this position. Now you're at the top of the list, and you're ahead of some pretty good jockeys in the history of this sport. What's it mean?
Very blessed, man. I always say it's a very blessed. And sometimes you don't even remember the winners. I remember most of the one of the past that I screwed up more than anything else. So that's the things you learn from. Not to make those mistakes again so you can do better. You know, those are things that are actually stakes with you more than anything else, at least for me. So the winners are easy, though. You know, the winners that you win is pretty easy to put it behind. The ones that you lost the years before, that's the one that kind of haunts you for the rest of your life. And I guess that's what makes me the person that I am and always think about the future, not just what happened last year or last month or last week, though, you know. So learn from your mistakes and try to do better.
Not only could it be back-to-back Florida Derbies, could end up being back-to-back Kentucky Derbies for Johnny V this year. To win a third Kentucky Derby would be...
Well, it's a dream come true, tell you that. You know, that's why I'm still here. You know, I keep bringing me back for the good horse of the good races, you know, and you hope that happens, and you hope to pick up a good horse and go to the Kentucky Derby and hopefully win in it. You know, that's why we all keep pushing, you know, and every jockey, every trainer, every owner, for whatever reason, that race keeps calling you back.
Well, the race keeps calling you back indeed. That's Hall of Famer John Velasquez, and a lot of fun to catch up with him. Such a smart rider, and somebody who is now in a position in his career, Jude, where he can just pick the good horses, and he doesn't have to ride every single race anymore. And you could hear him say at the end, this is what keeps bringing me back, horses like Audible, who he'll be aboard later this afternoon.
Yeah, if he was a baseball player, he'd have, what, $300 million contract?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's amazing. He really is. He's smart. He's savvy. He's, so accomplished. And then, class act on top of it, so. There really is nobody better than Johnny Velasquez.
And Audible needs a big effort today. He only has 10 points from that win in the Holy Bull, so he needs to be in the mix today in order to guarantee himself a spot in the Kentucky Derby. So we'll see if he can pull it off later today. But he has the all-time leading trainer in the history of the Florida Derby with Todd Pletcher, and now the all-time leading jockey in John Velasquez, who takes back over from Javier Castellano. We do not have time here before our last break to bring you the full Dale Romans interview, but we did hear Dale earlier in the program, Jude, talking about the speed and stamina of Promises Fulfilled. That'll be the strategy today. He told you in that interview, they're going to the front, catch us if you can.
That's exactly right, and they're going to blast off. So our handicapper, Mark Wimsatt, said he thought that Mark Hennig's horse was going to go wire-to-wire, but I don't know. Doesn't sound like Mark's going to go, and it sounds like Dale's going to blast off. So you never know once the gates open, but we'll see what happens.
All right, well, it is time for your KTA-KTOB Spotlight segment for this month, and we focus on the Kentucky Breds. And you know Kentucky Bred is synonymous with quality, not just in Kentucky, but worldwide. In the U.S., Kentucky leads all other states combined in number and percentage of stakes winners produced. Once again, Kentucky Breds are poised for greatness on the world's richest night of racing at the Dubai World Cup. Over a dozen Kentucky Breds are entered for world-class Group 1 races, including half of the field in the $10 million Dubai World Cup. Eligible Kentucky Bred winners of these races will receive additional awards as the Kentucky Breeders' Incentive Fund rewards top performances worldwide. Also, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund is a unique program to benefit owners and their Kentucky-sired Kentucky Fold runners. Kentucky Breds are eligible to share in fund purses, supplements, and non-restricted open company races. All five Thoroughbred tracks in Kentucky offer KTDF purses. Now, how about this? In 2017, $9.6 million was distributed at Kentucky racetracks. This supplemental program offers added money in stakes, handicap allowance, maiden, and eligible allowance optional claiming races. Yeah, believe me, it pays to breed and race in Kentucky. Learn more by visiting KentuckyBred.org. We're back to wrap this one up next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide, and by Keeneland Select.
The Kentucky Equine Humane Center heals horses of all ages and retrains them to be ready for adoption into a new life. Please support their work by coming out to the Crawfish Boil, presented by Chrysler of Lawrenceburg, held on April 17th at Park Equine in Versailles. You can buy a $35 ticket at kyehc.org. Kentucky Cajun Bob will get you 5 pounds of crawfish, but no tickets at the door, so get them ahead of time at kyehc.org. The horses thank you.
Gulfstream's championship meet is in full stride with top-class racing now through April 1st. Visit GulfstreamPark.com today to reserve your seats for the $1 million Express Bet Florida Derby on Saturday, March 31st, when many of the nation's top three-year-olds look to take one final step toward the Run for the Roses. And every day during the championship meet, you can take your shot at a life-changing score by playing the Rainbow Six. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com or download the Gulfstream Park app on your mobile device.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Grade 1 winner Lee traveled the world competing against the best of his generation. A graded stakes winner on both dirt and turf, he set a new track record in the Grade 1 Don Handicap and retired with earnings of more than $2.3 million. With his much-anticipated first foals hitting the ground this year, the sky is the limit for this promising young stallion, Lee, at Claiborne Farm.
power.
And Tafazara, sterling performance today. Tafazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But it's Monomoy Girl and the Rachel Alexandra Stakes. Laurange Roux and Monomoy Girl, 1/3.
Gainesway stallion Tafazara is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, now with more than $3 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, who discovered a new racing style while winning the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra at the fairgrounds, closing from last to blow by the field in the stretch. Monomoy Girl is now being pointed for Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Tafazara, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And they're off.
Join HRRN for Saturdays at Gulfstream. Every Saturday during Gulfstream Park's championship meet, we'll bring you live racing coverage of Gulfstream's biggest stakes races, complete with expert analysis from our award-winning staff. This week's featured race is the Florida Derby. Saturdays at Gulfstream, exclusively on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
They're off in the Preakness.
They're off in the Belmont Stakes.
You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Our thanks to all of our special guests this morning, Jonathan Thomas, Lonnie Powell, Julian Leperu, Mike Nyman, Mark Wimsatt, Mark Hennig, John Velasquez. Busy show.
JG. Yeah, it was crazy.
We're back this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern, coverage of the Florida Derby, Sirius XM 93 and Horse Racing Radio. .net. Make sure you are tuned in all over the world. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios. My beautiful wife, Michelle, on site. Chauncey handling all of our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you this afternoon. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.